I have to confess that as we get started with this sermon, you have already heard something this morning that is greater than everything I had planned to say. And I'm trying to figure out what I want to do with that. Because really what I want to do right now is scrap the sermon I had planned and just highlight what you heard, because you might have missed it. And I want to save that sermon for later, I think. And I think that's what I'm going to do. So AV guys, you're just going to have to shut this off and speed past those and get to the invitation song. And we're just, it's just going to take a couple of minutes, but I don't know if you picked up on what was said. A five-year-old and a seven-year-old had probably the deepest theological conversation you have just ever heard. When he got done with that, I'm trying not to cry. Because what I heard was a five-year-old understands heaven better than most of the people I talk to. Better than most of the Christians I talk to. Because most of us talk about heaven in terms of golden streets and amazing mansions. And boy, won't it be great to live in heaven, because I'll finally get to be on the other side of the tracks. You know, down here, I'm living in wherever it is I'm living. But boy, when I get to heaven, Jesus died so that one day I could be rich and have a gold mansion that's silver lined and invite the archangel as guest, and my servants will feed him, and we'll just have this. It blows my mind. Did you hear? I believe it was Sadie, 5 years old. Guys, this is heaven. Never forget this. Never forget this. This is heaven. Won't it be neat to have God as our neighbor? Won't it be neat to have God as our neighbor? Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, that is why heaven is great. And if we get to heaven and we live in a shack down by the river, but God is next door, that is everything. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I don't know the pew Bible number because I didn't look it up here in the last 30 seconds. So I'm sorry. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, this is the evidence of, this is verse 5. This is the evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. Do you see what eternal destruction is? Away from the presence of the Lord. That's what eternal destruction is. Philippians chapter 1. Paul is under house arrest in Rome. questionable what's going to happen. He's supposed to appear before Caesar. And there's a real possibility that he's going to stand before Caesar and Caesar says, I'm going to execute you. I mean, there's really been nothing about this trial all the way along going the way it should have gone for Paul. Not a bit of it. And so he writes to the church at Philippi. And he says, beginning at the end of verse 18, yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. Why, Paul? Why are you hard pressed? For most of us today, this isn't a hard question at all. Live or die. Well, I want to live. I want to live. The worst thing in the world would be for me to die. And yet, as we heard just a moment ago, not every death is sad. Paul said it would be better. It would be better. Verse 23, I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. Amen? My desire is to depart and have Jesus Christ as my neighbor. That's what he's saying. He's saying, life down here is fine. Get to enjoy a lot of things. But Paul actually says, rather than being released from this prison and getting to continue living, I would prefer getting executed. Why? Because then I get to live next door to Jesus. Won't it be neat when God is our neighbor? That is heaven. And everything less than that pales in comparison. It does not matter what house you live in now, and we live in a spectrum of houses. It does not matter what car you drive right now, and we drive a spectrum of cars. It does not matter what kind of clothes you get to wear, what kind of meals you get to eat, what kind of vacations you get to take. Guys, won't it be neat when God is our neighbor? And I have to tell you, I do not want to miss out on that. And I don't want you to miss out on that. You know, I think that when we think of heaven, let me say this about myself. I'm outlining on the fly, by the way, here, guys. This is tough. Think about myself. When I think of heaven as mansions and gold and riches, beautiful vistas, I get that down here. I see that down here. It's no wonder that's not a very compelling thing to lead us to Jesus. But won't it be neat when Jesus Christ is our neighbor? I'm going to ask Tim to come on up. We're going to lead an invitation song here in just a second. I'm sorry, I know y'all wanted a 45-minute sermon. Don't expect this often. I'll let Tim get up here. He wasn't expecting that. I should have warned him on the way down, but I wasn't sure. gathered around this table just a moment ago. Because what God said is, won't it be neat when all those people are my neighbor? And there was only one thing that it would take to make that a reality. And that was Jesus dying on the cross. Father, Son, Spirit, God and all three persons wanted me, wanted you as eternal neighbor so badly. He came into this world and he died on the cross so that we could be with him in his neighborhood. Do you want to be with him enough to climb up on that cross with him? To put yourself to death? Because I have to tell you, if you want to be a neighbor with him when he's on the throne, it starts by being a neighbor with him when he's on the cross. It starts by being the thief who realizes, I've got nothing to give you, but will you please remember me when you come in your kingdom? Giving up control of all of it and starting with what Jesus himself said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Putting self to death. Buried in a grave of water, immersed in a grave of water, and raised to stand with Christ, to be beside him on a cross throughout this life, so that we will be beside him on his throne throughout eternity. Won't it be neat? Won't it be amazing? Won't it be wonderful when God is our neighbor? Don't forget that. A 5-year-old said that, and it's the most important thing you've ever heard. If you want that, we're going to sing this song. And we invite you to surrender to Jesus, to give your allegiance to him as king. All we'll ask you to do, come on down to the front while we sing. And we'll help you get on that cross with Jesus. If we can help you with that this morning, please, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing.
I want to fall.